All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 8, fire from golden altar hits earth. Man, I tell you what, if you thought that the 10 plagues of Egypt were something, just wait until you see what God does from here on out in this great book of Revelation, starting with the seventh seal being opened and the trumpets beginning to blow. Egypt was just a miniature example, a miniature type of how God is going to show his mighty hand, his mighty strength to the nations of the world in the last days. Hey, I'm excited about it. This is going to be awesome. Because I can remember watching, the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston and thinking, man, that would have been really cool if I would have lived to see something like that. To see God do something, because we haven't really seen, God acts in this generation, he does things, but we haven't seen anything like that where it's, step by step with God's prophet saying, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow this is coming. Well, guess what? That's going to happen when the two witnesses are here. Going to happen again. Anyways, let's just get started reading here in the eighth chapter. But before we do, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Please help us to see your truths so that we can share them and be better servants of yours. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me if you would to Revelation in chapter 8, verse 1, and it reads, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now check that out. The first thing that happens when the seventh seal is opened is that there is silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. Now, some people take this to be to have some prophetic significance as far as time is concerned, like being a segment of the Great Tribulation. But I don't read that much into this. Because what John is seeing here, he's basically seeing the calm before the storm. I mean, he could have heard a pin drop up in heaven. Because all the angels know what's about to happen when the seventh seal is opened. This is a very serious moment. Probably one of the most serious moments in all of eternity. So that's what's happening there. God is just about to begin pouring out his wrath upon the peoples of the world. And so notice here, the seventh seal is opened. What happens next? Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, some people believe that, and I don't like spending a lot of time arguing about these types of things, but I've been called names, been called a false teacher for teaching these things in chronological order by people who only listen to, their church denomination or the teachings of one particular teacher. And I'm not going to address that too much here, but this is so easy to document. Before you start throwing out labels at people and, starting the gossip mill and things like that, stop and think a little bit and use righteous judgment. Hey, if you have a disagreement with somebody over scripture, just say, hey, I disagree. Well, there are teachings that I think are wrong from other teachers that may have just misinterpreted things. I don't call them false teachers and, start stirring everybody up. Hey, everybody makes mistakes. A false teacher is somebody who's, continually wrong about some really important things and sometimes do so on purpose. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make here, when he sees the seven angels at the seventh seal, they were standing before God, and they were given seven trumpets. So none of these trumpets have blown yet. During the sixth seal, during the fifth seal, during the fourth seal, third seal, and so forth. But why am I bringing this up? Because some people believe that the seals, trumpets, and vials are an overlay of each other. In other words, I'm trying to look for the word that they are simultaneous. In other words, the first seal, first trump, and first vial are the same event, just described in different ways. This is what they believe. And the second, third, and fourth, and then they believe that Satan comes in the sixth seal, sixth trumpet, and sixth vial. And that Christ returns in the seventh seal, seventh trumpet, and seventh vial, as though they're simultaneous. No, they're not. They're completely different events happening in chronological order. Different sets of seven building off of each other. How do we know that? It's right here. None of the trumpets have even blown yet. When the seventh seal is opened. See, all we have to do is just follow this in chronological order. So do your own homework. There are some people out there that they say, well, I don't listen to the teachings of men. But then they hold on to, the teachings of man. Whether it's a very good scholar or a very good teacher or whatnot. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it is important because we need to get these things right. And I'm going to show you something about this this fire from the altar that defines many of the events that happen in the first four trumpets. And we're going to get started on that. So anyways, this is what happens. This is verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Now, this may be the... Whenever just the altar is mentioned here, it's most often, if not all the time, referring to the altar of sacrifice. I don't have the diagram up this time. Many of you remember all the diagrams. You know, you had the on the outside of the holy place, the tabernacle, there was the altar of burnt sacrifice, sometimes called the brazen altar or just the altar. And then you move on in to the tabernacle itself, into the holy place, right before the Holy of Holies. And there is what is called the golden altar, or the altar of incense. So it appears as though an angel is coming to take some coals and incense from the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar, and he's going to bring it into the holy place to offer some things on the golden altar. Now, the animal sacrifice altar was a very great big altar. And we talked about how it was symbolic. It had the four horns on there, and the cross was the ultimate altar. That was symbolic of the cross of Christ and so on. But anyways, and there was given unto him much incense to this angel, this priest angel, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. This is the altar of incense. That's why it's so important to understand the Levitical rituals. Why? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us that all of those Levitical rituals, Old Testament priest rituals and so forth, were a type and of heavenly things. Because there is a real tabernacle in heaven. There is a real altar in heaven, and you're looking at it. This isn't some figurative thing going on here now. You're looking at the heavenly vessels here. Anyways, let me see here. So he offers it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar, which is before the throne. I will mention this, that the fire that fed the golden altar was taken from the, the coals from the brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice, were used to keep that fire going. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. This is very fascinating when we're seeing what's happening here. Remember God, when he would talk about the, when he'd get those sacrifices, he'd say it was a sweet savor. Well, this is the real thing. Our prayers ascend up to him like a sweet savor. It pleases him. But I think these prayers here are for something else. These prayers, if you remember back in Revelation chapter, six. In the when the fifth seal was opened, there were souls under the altar of sacrifice that had been murdered for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they were crying out, "How long, Lord, until you bring judgment upon the earth? How long until you avenge our blood?" And guess what? It's going to begin right here. These prayers are finally coming up here. And to God, verse 5, and the angel took the censer that's set, you know, like a spoon or something, and he filled it with fire of the altar. Now check this out. And cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. What happened here? Fire was taken from the heavenly altar and cast down to this earth. You ever stop to think about why that would be? Is all of this just to give us some angelic feeling as though that there's angels up there just lobbing coals down from the altars and things like that? No, there's a meaning to it. What is... First of all, what was the altar for? The altar was the meeting place between the people and God. It was the place where the people could make peace with God. It was a place where their sins would be atoned for. You know, they would, it was symbolic of Christ, but they would take the animal and they would sacrifice that animal in their stead. And they'd pour the blood on the altar, and the animal would be burned up. In other words, it's symbolic of all, the symbolism there is that all sin must be consumed before one can approach Almighty God. And it's consumed with that consuming fire. Think about that. I've said it before. Man will either be consumed or transformed by the fire of God's love, or he will be consumed or destroyed by the fire of his wrath. It's our choice. Hey, are we going to let God work in our lives to purify us, to let his fire burn within us, to get rid of all of the evil, sin and, you know, all those things in us that are wicked? Or would we have to do it the hard way and have God destroy us with his consuming fire? The reason I bring that up is because those who do not believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they have no atonement for sin. There's no place of meeting God and making peace with him, because there's no repentance there. So what's going to happen? Well, the fire from that altar demands justice. It demands judgment. So in a sense here, since the people would not come to the altar and bring their sacrifices of love and thanksgiving and repentance, God is going to take fire from that altar and start casting it to the earth as a form of judgment, his consuming fire. In a sense, he's bringing the altar to the earth. That's pretty amazing when you think of it. And I'm going to probably get to a spot. I think it's in 2 Peter. I had a note on it. Maybe I'll try to turn there later, where he talks about this earth not being destroyed with water, but being destroyed with fire. And all the evil elements are burned up as though the earth, again, is become a gigantic altar. Because sin cannot be in the presence of God. And God wants to dwell on this earth. And he doesn't want to dwell behind curtains of a tabernacle or in a temple. He wants to dwell right in the midst of his people. That is the goal. But he can't do that when sin is present without destroying the sinner. That's why you had the veils. That's why you had atonement. So what he's going to do is he's going to burn up. All the evil elements are going to be consumed so that they're not here anymore, and then he can be here right with his people. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. That's why it's so important to understand what the altar means. What are the coals for? What's the incense used for? And all those different things, if you really want to understand God's plan, especially this great book of Revelation. So there are voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So it actually affects the earth. Here we know that these judgments that are coming upon the earth are coming because this fire from the altar has been cast down. This isn't a deception hitting the earth or something like that. This is God's judgment upon the deceived. Upon the deceived. Verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now we know from Numbers chapter 10, I think it is, that trumpets, in the law, trumpets were to be used by the Israelites when they went out to war against their enemies. And then you remember, you have a perfect type of this, was the Battle of Jericho, where the priests walked around the city of Jericho seven times, blowing trumpets. And then on the seventh day, the walls fell down and they marched in. That's a type of what's going on in these trumpets. The angels are declaring war against Jericho. But in the end, it's Mystery Babylon in reality. So it says they prepared themselves a sound, and this is at the seventh seal, so they hadn't even begun to sound yet. Again, before you start making accusations against people and spreading, getting the gossip mill going, saying, oh, so-and-so's a false teacher because he teaches that the seals, trumpets, and vials are in chronological order. That's not what I teach. That's what God's word teaches. He just said it. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, this, no doubt, is probably pieces of a comet hitting a certain region of the earth, affecting a third of the earth. Like I said, if you thought that the plagues of Egypt were something, That was just a miniature type. In fact, I don't have the scriptures on me now, and I can't remember, but maybe I'll try to pull them up next study. There's a place where God says that he is going to do greater things than he did during Egypt. Greater plagues. And this is it. I mean, this is not just a part of Egypt. This is a third of the earth being affected by this tremendous plague here of hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast to the earth. And a third part of the trees, okay? And we go to, okay, so that was the first trumpet. That's going to be pretty serious. That's why the angels up in heaven were silent for about the space of a half hour. Because of what these do. Now check this out. Revelation 8 verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and I heard, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. This, more than likely, it appears to me that this is a great volcano that blows up somewhere on the edge of the sea and contaminates it. You know, remember there was a plague even in Egypt where the sea became as blood. But this is, again, this is much greater than that. I'm going to read the next verse here. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. All right? Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. So see, here we see it again, a third of this, a third of that, a third. When you get to the vials, it's no longer a third. The vials are the last plagues that hit the earth after all the trumpets blow. Actually, they are contained within the seventh trumpet, just as the trumpets are contained within the seventh seal. But what was I going to say here? Okay, so, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. So this could be a meteor impact right now, right here. No doubt it's, you know, a falling star. It's some heavenly object. Now, remember in the fifth seal, there were souls under the altar crying for God to bring vengeance upon their enemies, to execute the role of avenger of blood. Well, you know what happens? What is the law? What is the punishment in the law for murderers? It's stoning with stones. That's usually the death penalty. That's what it was. There was a few other cases where other methods were used, but it was usually stoning. Well, God is the avenger of blood. It appears as though to me, he is stoning the earth and those responsible for murdering his servants with stones. Except, you know, God doesn't just have little stones that we pick up, you know, from the earth here. He's up in heaven. He's got, you ever see those big meteors, you know, comets, whatever? Those are the stones that God can use. You see how perfect his law aligns with what he does? Because he is following the judgments according to his law, because the people on earth have not come to the cross. They do not have atonement for their sins, so they must pay the price. They must pay the price. All right, so it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became Wormwood. and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. All right, so this is going to be, you know, something that hopefully, and why is God doing this? Step by step, he's bringing these plagues just like he did in Egypt to try to bring people to repentance. So they would wake up and say, oh my gosh, this is the hand of God. God is bringing these plagues. He is up there. He is on the throne. And perhaps I better wake up and repent. That's going to be the main message of the end days. But the hearts will be hardened, just like Pharaoh's was. Before I read this verse 12 here, I'll just recap a little bit. First trumpet, it appears as though it could be fragments of a comet or just some amazing hailstorm that hits the earth. I think because they were mingled with fire that they were probably from heaven. And notice there was even blood on them. Could that blood have been the blood of the saints that were murdered? Interesting. It's interesting to think about. Abel's blood cried out to the Lord. Anyways, so you had the first trumpet was likely fragments of a comet. The second trumpet was probably a volcano exploding into the sea. And the third trumpet was no doubt a meteor impact in the ocean and or other waters, even the drinking waters as well. Well, it says lakes and so forth. So, you know what? I'm going to skip back to Revelation chapter 7. I'm not going to have the verses on the screen for you. I'm just going to read them. 7 verse 1, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Now, what did we just see happen here? The destruction happened to the earth, a third of the earth and trees, and on the waters. So the four winds are blowing. While the trumpets are blowing here. "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea." Now check that out. What are the angels hurting? The earth and the sea. So why do we try to read something spiritual into this when it's specific? And we see it happen specifically in you had the third of the trees were burnt up, the waters were made bitter. It means what it says. The angels are hurting the earth and the sea. And then verse 3 says, "Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees." Those are the things that are affected by the trumpets. "Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So what does that mean? It means that there is a physical protection upon God's people from his plagues. Just like they were protected in Egypt. And I think it's Psalms 91 even. Where it talks about plagues hitting or 10,000 falling at his left hand and on his right hand by different plagues, but the death did not come to him. I think it's Psalms 91. That psalm is prophetic of the 144,000 that are sealed with that divine protection. Anyways, and I suppose that's a false teaching, huh? When that's what this says. when that's what this says? Oh, you know, I'll just keep going here. Anyways, verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun, verse 12, the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day showed not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. Why would that be? Why would a third of the sun and the moon and the stars be darkened? Well, what just happened on earth? You had a fiery hail hit the earth, burning up trees and grass. You had a mountain burn into the sea. And then you had a meteor crash into the sea. We're having, what's going on here is all the debris and the smoke is in the atmosphere, blocking out the sun. This has happened historically. When there was a great volcano that would blow up or whatever in a certain region, that region would be, the sun would be blocked out by the ashes. And that's what's happening here. Verse 13, and I beheld and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. There we have it right there. First four trumpets blow, chronological order. And then he says, hey, there are three more yet to sound. This is all happening in consecutive order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets, they're different. They're not the same event. They're not the same event at all. But what does this mean? He says this woe, woe, woe to the... some texts actually translate this as an eagle flying through the midst of heaven saying, woe, woe, woe. Because if you thought these first four trumpets were pretty devastating, God saying, wait until the last three happen. Do you remember back when we were reading about the seal or the scroll that was sealed with seven seals, how it was written within and without and on the backside? And how it was, I think that was in Ezekiel, actually, now when I think about it. In Ezekiel, there was a similar scroll, and it says, and what was written therein was lamentation, mourning, and woe. That's exactly what's happening here. We have woes within this scroll as well. And we're going to see lamentations, mournings by the people of the earth. And it could just be that the two witnesses might be the ones, because in Revelation chapter 11, we'll get there, it says that the two witnesses can bring plagues to the earth. It could be that they are the ones calling forth these trumpet judgments to try to bring people to repentance. So anyways, that's fascinating. Hey, we're going to get into next chapter. It's going to be a pretty fascinating chapter. In fact, it's one of the most, it's given scholars the most trouble of probably any other chapter in the Bible. And it's been like that for generations. It's a difficult chapter to understand, and there's probably parts of it that we won't completely understand until it happens. But yeah, so we got some exciting trumpets coming. We got the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet. So don't miss any of these upcoming studies. Hey, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. The next study, hopefully, or one of the studies coming up, I'll try to get some more charts so we can kind of see where we're at time-wise as far as which trumpet, maybe even what period of the tribulation, the last 7 years. You know, the last 3.5 years is really the Great Tribulation, but the last 7 years is that period of time commonly called the end days. Anyways, hey, get ready for some physical catastrophes to happen on this earth because they are written about. And it's very plain, very simple to understand. You know, most often when God has a symbol of something in Revelation that means something else, it usually says so. It usually says so, but when he makes something plain and he specifies things, then we got to be careful not to read something more into it than what it says. And we've got to take it at face value. Got to take it at face value. Anyways, hey, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it. Digest it. Meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.